MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. Chatting with Janina Slowski, Executive Investment Consulting at Alex Forbes. Janina, appreciate the early morning time. Your Manager Watch survey is out. We've chatted a couple of times around this, but remind us what the Manager Watch survey is, its purpose, and how it is formulated every year.
Thank you very much. Good morning to everyone. So yes, it is an annual survey, and essentially it's a barometer of what's happening in the asset management industry with a focus on retirement funds. Mm-hmm. It is fascinating. As we all know, investment markets are incredibly challenging at the time. Lots of good returns last year and not so good returns since the war started. Yep. So essentially it says who's doing well, what are the trends, how much is going offshore, what's happening in terms of the BE state of ATIS managers. So all comes together in a very interesting annual survey.
It is data rich. My little brain absolutely loves it. You talk around some of the trends. The one that, and we've mentioned this before, multi-managers continue to gain share. What does it say? In 2019, for every R1 to single managers, multi-managers got 15 cents. That's now 30 cents. This is a big shift. It's happening slowly, but it is significant.
But it is part of a much bigger trend. Mm-hmm. So obviously, there's a lot of complexity in running standalone retirement funds. So a lot of funds are moving into umbrella funds and making the decision that if you're going to make that decision, you might as well overall simplify. So a lot of standalone mm-hmm. funds actually moving into multi-manager portfolios within umbrella funds.
Yeah, keeping it simple. Global allocation, you mentioned this. As of December last year, 40 of the 53 managers, more than 30% in global assets, 8 exceeding 40%, average 33.5%. It would seem, that we've sort of hit that sweet spot with the 45% limit within Reg 28. We're now saying, well, managers can now pretty much take what they want, and what they're looking for is actually a little bit lower than the 45.
Well, obviously, RAND's strength also helps to take it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So obviously, 2025 was an amazing year in terms of local equity returns, RAND's strength, you know, which is a huge good story for local asset managers, local investors. Mm-hmm. But obviously, any assets you held in dollars actually lost its value over the year. So this doesn't necessarily reflect that managers were actually consciously reducing, mm-hmm. but obviously the RAND strength reduced it. And as we know, we have not had RAND strength since the beginning of the war. So that figure is going to vary a lot, both because asset managers have views on offshore, but also what happens with the RAND yeah. and offshore asset returns.
You mentioned transformation. What we are seeing is frankly significant a transformation. 54 of 78 managers in terms of the ORM survey, a level one contributor. This is significant. This is an industry that is largely transformed.
Obviously, a lot of it was driven by client demands, mm-hmm. But also regulator, National Treasury, etc., asking hard questions. So yes, we've walked a journey with the asset managers in the industry, and the commitment is amazing to transformation. They've really pulled out all stops in terms of ownership, transformation of investment professionals, procurements, spending, etc. Obviously, one of the biggest trends has been that the large managers, such as the Coronation, yeah. Sanlums, or Mutuals. So when you look at our survey and see the huge increase in the number of BE or majority black-owned strategies, a lot of that is just driven by the fact that the massive managers have made that cross along the lines, and therefore their strategies are now BE.
You talk around size. Who are our biggest asset managers in the country?
Well, we have a gorilla called 91. They, for a few years, they've been at the top. And obviously, with the transaction with Sanlam, mm-hmm. that's going to change significantly over the next 12 months. So do not expect to change at number one. But then obviously, other big names are Stanlib, Coronation, Sanlam, etc., and some changes, in fact, between the managers. And obviously, significant transactions like the transfer of assets from Sanlam to 91 mm-hmm. Is going to make a big difference when you see the survey that comes out this year.
In terms of performance, I mean, you mentioned last year was a really, really strong year on the JSE. Of course, you had to be very, very all in on gold. Otherwise, perhaps you weren't getting the return. And it would have been a brave call back in January to perhaps have made that. But how were returns for the industry in 25 and in light of what was a good year for equities?
I think we've said for some time that the fact you can take money offshore to a much higher level is causing massive dispersion, because managers will either get it right or they won't get it right, and the range can be huge. So it's actually stark. Yes, I said South African equities had a fantastic year, but if you look at the dispersion of the one-year returns for South African equity, it ranged from 8.7 up to 50.6. So, I mean, obviously, even if you're in the 40s, 50s, you as a client are delighted, but imagine if you only got an 8% return. And then similarly on the global best investment view, dispersion of, 6% to 33%. So these are markets where the quality of the stock picking and the tactical allocation by managers is just going to be dramatic in terms of differentiation between the highest and lowest. So I think for clients, they are going to have to look at their managers with much more critical eyes. They can't all just be following passively, and if market goes up, they all go up. They will definitely go up more if they have a quality in terms of stock selection and asset allocation.
Yeah, that's a good point. A time to sort of earn your stripes. So last question around fees. And I mean, I'd certainly, if we take a big step back and look out over a decade or two, fees have absolutely been coming down. There's a chart in here which talks around fees, maximums, minimums, averages. I have to say, for an industry, and I've mentioned this before, you know, my first unit trust in the 90s, I was paying 5%. The maximum fees now sub 1%. This is before performance and the like, but fees really have sort of moved in the direction of good news for investors.
Definitely. Obviously, what we've got in the graphs are institutional fees. Sure. So you will still find some high fees for retail, especially with low asset amounts. But the trend has been dramatic. This is the advantage of competition.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, clients have been asking questions. Consultants have been asking questions. And obviously, generally, there's been a drive towards more disclosure and clients having to certify that their fees have been checked and are reasonable. And that is huge benefit to investors, because those fees are coming down, and that compounds dramatically over longer periods to give better returns to members of funds.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a compound over time. And yeah, the trend has certainly been in the favor of the clients. We'll leave it there. That's Yonina Slarsky, Executive Investment Consulting, Alex Forbes, talking around their December 25 Manager Watch Survey. Appreciate the early morning. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.